Hey friends, you're tuning into Wisdom and Wellness with Wit, a podcast for your emotional, physical, mental, and spiritual well-being, a space to learn and grow, to be encouraged and maybe even challenged just a little bit. Let's journey together and explore what it means to experience the wholeness God has for each of our lives. Hey, what's up, everybody? It is Whitney, and I am coming to you from Birmingham, Alabama. I have been on the road for the last few weeks on tour, and it has been awesome. It has been difficult. And we just started our series, You Can Do Hard Things, and last week I talked a little bit about obedience and stepping out in faith and following God and doing things that feel challenging. And sometimes when we do hard things without God, they're just ridiculously hard, rather than when we do them with God, while it still can be very difficult, we at least know that the source that we are trusting in will always come through and he will always be true to his word that he spoke to us. Today's episode, I'm excited because I interview a friend of mine, Kevin Hoist, who he just completed an Ironman. And I realized halfway through our conversation, I didn't actually have him say to all of us what an Ironman is and what he does. I wanted to just reiterate it now before we start so you can really understand how impressive of a feat this is that he did. So an Ironman is a 2.4-mile swim. It is a 112-mile bike, and then it is a marathon, 26.2 miles of running. Okay. And if you heard my podcast when I talked with Don and Hillary and we talked about the triathlon that we did, while it was a feat for me, that was nowhere near what he did. That was a 0.9-mile swim, a 24-mile bike, and then a 6-mile run. So as you can see, it's quite a difference. I'm still really proud of myself, but because that was hard for me. But our conversation today, he's just really encouraging. And I think there's some, just some good handles that he gives some of us to think about how to start pursuing things that maybe a lot of us have thought, I could never do that in my life. And there's so many valid reasons. And maybe there's these like hard things you just don't ever want to do. And that's fine. But this is for those of us who have some really big goals or just dreams or things that we want to accomplish, but it feels really impossible. I mentioned to all of you guys that I am now Wisdom and Wellness LLC, which is so exciting, but it's terrifying. I'm going to talk about it a lot more, but this episode is not just for those with fitness goals. It is for any of us who are just wanting to go to the next level in so many different areas of our lives. And I love how we just talk emotional, spiritual, relational, mental. Like there's so many really great components and handles that he gives us in this episode. So I hope you enjoy my conversation with Kevin Hoist.
All right. Well, Kevin, thank you so much. I'm so excited to get to talk to you.
The pleasure is mine. I'm excited to be on your podcast.
Yes. I have been a fan ever since I started following you. I don't know. It hasn't been that long, but we have a mutual friend who I love and respect, and he was kind of coming along your journey, and I was just so encouraged by you and your story, the little that I know about you, because I think there's a lot of people out here trying to do a lot of things and taking people on the journey with them, but it feels like sometimes it's like this, watch me do this, and like watch me achieve these hard things. And I just respected the process for you. It was like, we can do hard things in life, and we'll go into it. I just loved the way that you, I don't know, you brought us into the journey with you. And it was like with humility, but also like it challenged, and I really liked it. So I'm honored to get to pick your brain as well, because I'm trying to do another one and I need all the moral support.
I'm here for it. I'm here for it. And thank you for having the eyes to see that. That means a lot. Thanks for saying that.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So, Kat, can you just kind of start us off a little bit? Tell us a little bit about yourself and who you are and all that good stuff.
For sure. Yeah. Well, again, thanks for having me on. It's always a privilege when people share their platform and their space, you know, with others. And so I'm grateful. Yeah. A little bit about me. Yeah. So Kevin Hoyce, I'm born and raised in LA. I love to start with that because I just take a lot of pride in that. I'm an LA boy, born and raised. And so
I see Kobe behind you.
Kobe's behind me. That's my guy. Reporting you. Know, you. Absolutely. I don't have a long list of heroes, but he's definitely on there. And so, So born and raised here in LA, still here, doing my thing. I went to college locally here in Pepperdine University, got my bachelor's in accounting, can't even talk. And spent about 10 years in corporate finance and accounting and consulting. And recently, a couple years ago, went out on my own. So I'm doing my own consulting at the moment. And recently went back to school. So I'm in a grad program, getting my master's degree in organizational psychology, which is a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. And more than anything, I think I'm just someone who likes to have fun and just kind of push myself to continually learn and experience, you know, what God has for me and continue to learn more about myself and who he's created me to be. And so a lot of times that will just push me into new environments or new circumstances or new challenges or just things that keep me moving forward and keep me progressing and growing and challenging and myself and I have a lot of fun doing it. So that's a brief, brief version of who I am.
That's super cool. We're rivals because I went to APU. And so I feel, I feel like, I don't know, Pepperdine, y'all were better at us than everything, but we still were like, ooh, Pepperdine.
Those Christian University rivals, there's nothing like them, I'll tell you.
We don't have much else, so we have to. That is so funny. My always wanted to play water polo at Pepperdine, but.
They had a great team there. Yeah.
They did.
So you play water polo. So you grew up playing. Did you play in college?
Did you have a team? Yeah. I grew up playing water polo and swimming, and then I tore my rotator cuffs, and so it was kind of that story of wanted to play college and on, but couldn't. Mm. But yeah, it worked out.
Very cool.
Thankfully, yeah. That's super cool, though. Yeah. So you went out on your own, starting your own consulting business. That's super impressive. I mean, not just impressive but there's a lot of that takes a lot of courage and bravery, and I think for most people there's a lot of fear to step out. I'm doing some of those things right now, and it's terrifying in different regards. I would love, just thinking of that, like your personality, it feels like the way that you take on challenges, it feels exciting to you. Is that a correct statement?
Absolutely. Okay. And terrifying for sure.
Yeah.
So I resonate with that. And I think I definitely feel the excitement in it as well. That's been part of my maturation, though. That hasn't always been there. I can't say that, you know, ever since I was a child that I just loved, you know, branching into new, unfamiliar sort of environments and challenges. I think a lot of my foundation and a lot of my confidence comes more so from understanding the value of preparation and having work ethic and developing skills and trying to cultivate, you know, expertise and things that you can use as a foundation to maybe take those risks. And so what I'm grateful for is that ever since I was a child, my parents really helped us understand the value of those things.
Yeah.
And as I got older, and you can see, I mean, that's why I went into accounting, right? Because that is all those things, right? Totally. It's secure, it's stable, it's skill based, it's something you can develop an expertise in, and all of that. But it was not necessarily because I had this vision of one day, you know, being my own consultant or going out on my own and having dreams that I wanted to sort of refine around my passions and who I am.
Yeah.
I didn't have that vision necessarily, but as I went along the journey and started seeing the fruit of my you know, dedication to my craft and my career and the work that I was putting in that maybe others weren't. Mm-hmm. And just seeing how that paid off, it did instill a confidence in me and a growing awareness in me of things that I was capable of, or maybe dreams that I could actually take some steps forward in. And so that started getting exciting, because I think when your hard work meets your passions and your dreams, there's nothing more exciting than that. Mm-hmm. And so I think you're right in that now I'm in a season, and I'm continuing to go deeper into a season where I feel like that intersection is happening for me. But it hasn't always felt that way. And, totally. And I think fear can often keep you from stepping into it. And so I think you have to have discernment, and I think you have to have people around you that help you think through, like, is this a time to take steps like this? Do you need more refining in your craft, your skills, all those sorts of things? You need feedback and you need to have a healthy sense of self-awareness. But it is exciting for sure. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you know, I'm someone who gets really inspired by people. Like, I just get so inspired by stories and people and mentalities and what they did in their lives. That's why Kobe is obviously such a huge hero of mine and his mentality. And I read books, I watch movies, and I'm like, oh man, I could go run through a brick wall right now. You know, I'm very passionate.
Yeah.
And so I think then when you're able to put in the work that all those people had to do.
Totally.
To then have your own version of that, or start experiencing your own version of that, that's what gets exciting. So
that's super good. Yeah. And I mean, when I think about it, I mean, I think so many of us disdain the word discipline, but you know, God even talks about in the Bible, like, he disciplines those he loves. And I think it's so easy to want to bypass that. I was talking about that with somebody else the other day, because it was like, a lot of us see, like you're saying, the fruit in others' lives, and then it can be so easy to be like, I want the fruit that they have. And then it's like, but you need to go back and look at the story and be like, are you willing to, you know, withstand like the winter and the hard pruning and the difficult situations? Because I think about, same, the people that I admire the most have some of the most like gut-wrenching stories. And you're just like, there's so many ways you can go when life gets hard. And, you know, it's, you either lean into Jesus and you lean into the heart, or you can go into the jadedness and the hurt and the, you know, kind of walk away and all that stuff. And so it's, so that's, I mean, that's just so powerful and such a testimony, even just for you in your own life and, you know, the people that are around you that get to see it. Like, there is fruit. We don't know when all the time and all of that kind of stuff, but it's really powerful when you trust God, you go for it, you step out in faith, but you also have to put in the discipline. Which is the less, I feel like I always say there's like less sexy topics in the Bible that we don't like to talk about. We like to talk about the breakthrough, you know, but we don't like to talk about the actually being broken.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not as fun.
it's not as fun, but you know, the theme that I think, I continue to hear from those that you and I are talking about and are inspired by is that the process and the journey ends up becoming the most fulfilling part of it. I mean, I think the breakthroughs are maybe the things that keep you going, because you're getting to see that fruit, right? Mm-hmm. That is the reward.
Yeah.
That's the external, that's the tangible reward. Mm-hmm. But I think the individuals who dedicate themselves to discipline and the consistency develop this intrinsic reward that they start becoming aware of, that they then understand is the ultimate reward. It's the refining of themselves internally. Yeah. It's the development of character and grit and perseverance and hope and faith and understanding that in a lot of ways you're honoring and stewarding things, but it's also coming from a higher power, like that there's divine, you know, ability and vision in you. And so once you start experiencing all those things in that consistency and through those hard moments, sometimes lonely moments as well.
Yeah.
That's the most fulfillment. So absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's super good. Yeah. Okay. So I want you to walk me through just this whole process, 'cause I'm so enamored by people who have done the Ironman because it's one. It's like a it has been a bucket list since I was a little girl. I don't know why. Like, I mean, okay, I grew up a swimmer and stuff, but I've never been a runner. Horrible at running, and then you know the whole cycling thing. It took me for a little trip. But I mean, you know, talking all discipline and all of that stuff. Like, so what? First of all, encouraged you to want to even pursue something like this? And have you done something maybe to this caliber of like, I don't know, grit and dedication? And I mean, it's really life altering to a sense of how you have to live.
It is for sure. And I think that's impressive that you had that bucket list goal since you were a little girl. I mean, that just speaks to your drive and ambition.
Haven't done it yet, though.
I know, but you're on your way. I can absolutely say that wasn't on my list. So yeah. Kudos to you. That's pretty awesome. I agree. It is all those things. How did I develop this as a goal? Well, so it wasn't on my list and on my radar growing up or into high school or anything like that. I grew up playing sports. I grew up playing competitive soccer, basketball. And so I definitely had this, you know, competitive drive within me since I was young and always pushed towards excellence and leadership and being a, you know, just seeing how hard work and practice and dedication to you know, your sport and the work behind the scenes and all these things and how that could like just be so fulfilling on the field and on the pitch. Yeah. And so I had all those experiences and I loved it. And then I got to college and I didn't play college and soccer in college or sports in college. And so I kind of missed that that opportunity to keep that drive within me going. And and after college, I was trying to figure out what that was going to look like. And so I decided to sign up for a sprint triathlon. This was in 2017. This was 5 years ago. Okay. And I just wanted to do it to chalk it off my bucket list. I wanted to do a triathlon before 30. That was my goal. And I grew up swimming as well. So I had a foundation in swimming, but less so in biking and running. And so I trained for that with a friend. And after I crossed that finish line with, I just knew I had more in me. And I was surprised to have that feeling. I didn't have any goals beyond that race. Okay. I really thought that was going to be it because I didn't know a lot of people that were doing triathlons. Yeah. And I just thought this is going to be great. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be distinct. You know, I'm going to have fun doing it. It's going to be a new challenge. Mm. No one in my family had done any at the time. And so it was just fun and exciting. And when I crossed that finish line, I was surprised at two things. One, how much my training had prepared me for that race, right? Because I think sometimes we train for these big endurance sports or races, and we have this notion of race day that is like, this thing is going to rock me. Like, there will be nothing else like this. And so I'm spending, you know, all these months or whatever the case may be training for this race. And then this is going to be like, you know,
the end of me.
The end of me, you know, and obviously it's like, no, you got to respect race day. You got to respect the execution. It definitely, you know, is the culmination for a reason. And so I'm not minimizing that, but I was just surprised on how much my training had prepared me for it. And
that's awesome.
And so then that kind of led into this idea, this thought of, whoa, I think I have more in me. Like, I think I could go beyond this race. And so I started thinking about doing a half Ironman right away. Mm-hmm. And I didn't, you know, set that as a goal, though, right away. And so there was a gap for a few years. And all, you know, that to say is starting in the beginning of 2022, when I left my corporate job and I had a bit more margin, I said, this is the window. You know, this is the window. So I signed up for a half Ironman. I trained for it with a friend. And again, the full Ironman wasn't something that I had decided I wanted to do at that point. Mm-hmm. I, you know, wanted to just go one race at a time, and that race went well. And right after that, I just knew I was in the best shape I had ever been in. And I still had this window. And a month later I said, yeah, this is it. I'm going to just ride this out for the next 5-6 months and hire a coach and double down on my training and take advantage of this window and season and go for the full thing. So I did that. And then, you know, 6 months later I did Ironman Arizona, and here we are. So,
wow. That's okay. So you did a sprint, a half, and an iron. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. That's crazy. So, I mean, that is really cool to feel like you had trained really well. Did you, for the sprint, did you have anybody like that was speaking into it, or did you kind of like just do your own research and?
Yeah, totally on my own. I mean, I had a friend that I was training with, so I had a training partner, no coach, no real research. I wasn't, you know, reading all the triathlon blogs that I now am like obsessed with and everything back then, but very much, I mean, I learned a lot, and I'm glad I did that race because I learned how not to do some things as well. And so when I came back around for some of the longer races and the Ironman races, having that experience and having some of those memories and lessons that I learned through that shorter one definitely was helpful. But no, it was very much just a you know, get across the finish line and let's do it type of race.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's, it's, that must have just been such a cool feeling to keep you motivated to have like, maybe, I don't know if you would say you over prepped for a sprint, but to feel, to feel like what you were doing was worth what you did. Like, I think there's, cause you're, it's, it is sometimes, I mean, and my friend and mentor and coach, Dawn Jackson, everything we do, she always says, like, especially with training, she's like, that'll preach to life, you know, like everything that comes to sports and anything. And like how interesting and what a gift for you to realize like how much your preparation really did, set you up like for a win that day, regardless of like what you wanted your time to be or anything like that. Were there any like safeguards that you found you were putting into your training, even just like with a sprint? Because it is an interesting thing to train for something you have no clue what it's going to be like, and then to train again, having maybe a little bit more perspective. Obviously, in iron, you still, you're not going to know because it's such a big gap. But yeah, were there any things you feel like you had in place to create like a healthy and a good successful training?
Yeah, I think mentally you have to put safeguards in place. I think that's a huge theme that I've felt through all of these races, and it did start with that first one. You have to, or I had to, understand what my goals were, you know, and really just embrace the reality of what they were and what they weren't, and kind of see, have a clear picture of what success or what, you know, I was setting out to actually accomplish. And at that point in time, you know, I really just wanted to complete it. And along the way, I started getting a better sense of what some realistic time goals might be as I was sort of getting a sense of some of my training. And and again, it was far less structured back then. But you start understanding more of, I think, your abilities in those seasons and have a real, more realistic assessment of where you're at. But for me, I think having mental safeguards is what has helped me in that race and in the Ironman races to stay focused and to stay encouraged and to stay positive and to keep myself not trying to avoid comparison as much as possible and and just thinking, you know, it's and that's one of the beautiful things in general about triathlons and endurance sports is that in many ways, although you can easily start comparing yourself to others and as well, it's not immune to that. But in many ways, you're competing against yourself.
Right.
You're competing against your potential, your abilities, your, you know, your goals and what you're capable of. And so I think that would be that's been, you know, the area that I've tried my best to, you know, safeguard is just my mentality because that's what actually keeps you showing up every day and being consistent and not getting too high, too low. It's just saying, yeah. you know, I'm here, I'm on this journey, you know, yeah. my goal is to finish this, complete this, yeah. then I can build off of this if I want to, but really my goal is to cross that finish line and keeping that vision of you crossing the finish line, you know, at the forefront of your mind and keeping you inspired and encouraged. So, yeah.
Yeah. No, that's super good. I think that's so, that is really powerful. Like, what is success to you and what are the goals that you're trying to reach? Because it's, yeah, I mean, training with the two girls I trained with, I kept getting so annoyed with myself about, and I was super thankful. Like, we weren't competitive at all. And when it came to the cycling and racing, they both were way better than it, and me, and I was the swimmer. So I, you know, I was just better at that. But so I was thankful for that because it was never like a, but to see like, you know, them to increase in areas and to feel like I wasn't, I was starting to, I would get down on myself super mm-hmm. fast. Cause I was like, oh my gosh, like I just don't have what it takes. Or like I would go, you know, violently against myself super quick, which is never helpful. But what, do you mind sharing just like what are some of those like mental safeguards that you found that worked for you?
Yeah. Well, the first is, I think you have to understand why you have to have a clear sense of why you're doing the race. Yeah. And I really think this is applicable to so many areas of our life. You Absolutely. Have to understand why you're setting out on the endeavor that you're on and,
right.
and what the purpose behind it is mm-hmm. because there will be, it's not if, there will be moments where you have thoughts that enter your mind on mm-hmm. why am I even doing this? Mm-hmm. What is this for?
Yeah.
You know, what did I think I was going to be able to accomplish? Why mm-hmm. did I think I was going to be able to do X, Y, and Z? And so for me, I think the first is really developing a strong sense of why this race or this accomplishment means mm-hmm. something meaningful yeah. to me. And,
yeah.
and, you know, and people can discover that based on who they are and what they, their own lives. But yeah. I do think that that's an important aspect to it so that you can hold on to that when things get tough. And so, mm-hmm. so for me, you know, in this most recent Ironman, I just knew one of my big whys was to do something beyond just a personal accomplishment, you know, because mm-hmm. I had now done a couple of these races. And so
yeah.
I felt the personal fulfillment of crossing those finish lines. But
mm-hmm.
I knew that for me to keep me going and to ultimately find the ultimate satisfaction, fulfillment in doing a full Ironman. Yeah, I was going to have a lot of personal fulfillment in doing it, but I already knew that would come. Yeah. I yeah. felt like a big why for me would be to use it as an opportunity to hopefully impact other people's lives or inspire other people. Mm-hmm. So for me, that ended up being something that I established in my mindset
yeah.
that safeguarded me from a lot of moments that maybe I could have gotten discouraged or could have mm-hmm. like quit or could have decided that, you know, there were other priorities in my life that were more right. important. Right. Mm-hmm. And so that right. was, that was one for me. I think, mm-hmm. I think another one is, and in this full Ironman, this is what I did is I brought in a coach. So yeah. I brought in someone who could provide structure and accountability to what I was setting out to do.
Yeah.
And I just knew my time and my focus was going to be limited. I was mm-hmm. entering a fairly busy season of my life. About halfway through my training, I went back to grad school. I brought on a new client. That's a great client. And then, I'm training for this Ironman race. And so,
yeah.
you know, and so I just knew my time and my focus was going to be limited.
Yeah.
And so I just wanted to show up and put in the work. I didn't mm-hmm. have as much margin to give mm-hmm. towards designing my own training or, yeah. you know, worrying about things that I wasn't even good at. Right. And right. so I had to delegate what I wasn't good at and bring in the expert mm-hmm. to guide and coach me in that. So that provided structure mm-hmm. and accountability. But what that also did was it provided me with the grace I needed if I missed a workout. right? My coach was amazing at holding me accountable, and I love that I had that structure and accountability, but he also was able to provide me with the encouragement and the grace and the feedback. That's awesome. Yeah. Like if I missed a workout and I was getting down on myself, because I really tried hard not to miss, you know, as many workouts as possible. And he would just remind me, hey, no, your consistency has allowed for this. Mm. Like, you know, there were times where I got sick and I was out for a few days and I thought, oh man, this week is going to set me back. And he's like, no, your consistency allowed for you to rest. You know, you're going to be fine. Yeah. Like we'll have to adjust and get back on track. And so, so mentally, that was really helpful. That was a safeguard, right? Because I think a lot of times we are our own worst enemy when it comes to our thoughts and our self-limiting beliefs, or taking a mistake or taking something that we are struggling with and then blowing it into this proportion that is just not realistic. And so we need people, sometimes those mental safeguards are having people around us that can speak into that. So so those are a couple that come to mind, just having a clear sense of why and keeping that clear in your mind, in my mind, and then having structure and accountability and feedback and people around me that that can help process what I'm processing, or you know, help me with the thoughts that come up as I set out for that.
That's so beautiful. I think there's things that I've pursued this year and into these next few years. And it's like, I owe it all to just the people that have now been in my life that I am accountable to, you know, regardless of whether it was training for something or just, I do a check-in every week with a friend and mentor, and we're just like, what are you doing this week? And at the end of the week, what did you get done?
I love that.
And it's, cause there's so much you can learn about yourself in the process, right? Like as you're growing and changing all this stuff. And I think sometimes it is so powerful for people that you're doing the same thing with to be encouraging you in areas. And it's really profound because I think the more we allow people in our lives, they also know like where we'll start to beat up on ourselves too. And if you have just like wise, loving friends around you, they're going to be like, hey, you missed a workout. And I know today you're probably going to think, you're a piece of crap, and like, you know, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, and you're going to get on yourself, and I want to remind you today does not, you know, this is not what defines you. It's it's your consistency. It's your discipline. And it's, so it's, I think that's really cool that you can see how just impactful it can be to have somebody in your life cheering you on, as well as challenging you when you need to be challenged. And, and I think the more people challenge us, the more they know how they can challenge us too. Right? Like it's, my friends know when it's kind of like, you know what? Let's take a little break. Let's take a rest. Right. And then they also know to be like, you're just making an excuse. Like, just do it.
Yeah.
We just need to do it. And you're like,
that's such a gift. I think it's a scary, it can be a scary cause it's vulnerable, right?
Yep.
Anytime that we're kind of exposing ourselves to other people.
Yeah.
But I think it's such a gift, and I think it's something that we realize the gift of the longer we do it, and the more that we see how that helps us get through hard things, whether it's in life or whether it's Ironman races, you know, we need people. And I love what you said about them being able to speak into our lives differently based on who we are. You know, my coach, he got to know real quick that I am very detail oriented. I'm very goal oriented.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, all right, coach, so what's my time goal? Like, what do I think we should, be benchmarking for this race? And
I love it.
And he was like, oh man, for you, I really think we need to focus on the process. Like, I want you to just focus on the process and approach this race as you've done the work and you're just going to go do the best race you can. And we're going to like have a couple benchmarks to sort of, you know, keep you going in a way that is sustainable and that gets the most out of your race, because they all blend into one another. But I don't want you fixated on a time goal, and I want you to walk away knowing that you did the best you could and that you executed like up to your potential. And for other athletes, you know, he may coach them different, but that's how he needed to coach me. Right. Mm-hmm. And so that was awesome. And I just think the more that we can allow people to get to know us and our tendencies and the way we think and the way we're wired, the yeah. better and the more accurately they're able to help us.
Mm-hmm. It's so true. Yeah. So as you were training, are there any big things you can be as personal as you want, but just things that you noticed about yourself? First, what were you really proud of learning about yourself throughout this? I know you'll probably quickly say, where do you feel like you want to grow next time? But
I know I'm like always, you know, yeah. I'm such a like achiever mindset sure. that yeah. I'm kind of always like, okay, cool. What's the next thing yeah, for sure?
Yeah.
I think one of the things that I'm most proud of in this race really what is that I used it as a means to impact people. You know, I have a lot of personal fulfillment that came through it. I could talk about the discipline and the consistency and the endurance to stick with something.
Yeah.
You know, that you set your mind to and over the course of 6 months, 6 days a week of training. I mean, over yeah. 6 months, that was a lot, right? And yeah. the sacrifice and that. And
yeah.
and I'm happy to talk about those things for sure because I'm proud
yeah.
of them.
Yeah.
But really out of this race, I think the thing that I really am the most proud of is that I tried to use it as a way to create inspiration and impact mm-hmm. in other people's lives. And, you know, the way I did that was raising money for a nonprofit that I'm just had been connected with since high school.
Yeah.
That impacts the youth of Pasadena and provides them mm-hmm. with resources to keep persevering in their lives. And,
yeah.
And so, so that's the thing that I'm the most proud of, because I think we have many opportunities in our lives to accomplish really powerful things that will mean a lot to us personally.
Right.
This is definitely one of those things for me.
Yeah.
And I think, and I just feel, I just think that it's special when people are able to take those gifts and take those mm-hmm. abilities yeah. and try and inspire others to do the same in their lives, to experience the totally. Fulfillment, to see, you know, what's inside of them and,
yeah.
and help, you know, give back to people, because I think that's yeah. the most gratifying thing in life. So,
for yeah, sure.
So that's the thing that I'm most proud of and how I use this opportunity. But along the way, for sure, I think my consistency mm-hmm. was something that, that I just know can be transferred to so many other aspects of my life.
Yeah.
And so I think I'm really grateful that I had the experience of committing myself to something
mm-hmm.
that I saw through in a yeah. way that was challenging and demanding and,
yeah.
And the consistency of that, you know, mm-hmm. can be transferred to, career, relationships,
yeah.
and my faith, you know, and so many other things.
Yeah. No, I think that's so beautiful, because I think right now, especially in our culture, it's like hustle, hustle, do, there's a lot of mm-hmm. great stuff, but it's like, mm-hmm. you know, self-fulfillment, what will make you the happiest, you know, do mm-hmm. what you feel is best for you. Like, there's a lot of that in our culture, right? And I think when we think about the kingdom and what biblical culture means is that, like, we're doing things for others, and it's not just, I don't think God has placed a call in each one of our lives just for us to get, you know, purposeful gain. I think he has so many blessings and awesome things in store as we, you know, experience this life. But yeah, it's like, what's the point of doing stuff if it's not going to impact somebody else? Like, the call on your life is so intricately woven into the call of my life and the call of every other believer's lives, because we've been called for the Great Commission, the Great Commandment, right? To like go and reach people, to heal the sick, to, you know, like there, and all of that is woven into that. And the way that you can inspire somebody, you know, through your discipline, and people might think, well, what does an Iron Man have to do with like faith or something, you know? But I mean,
everything,
everything. Yeah. I mean, it correlates in so many ways. And so it's, yeah, I mean, I do think that is such a huge that's awesome that that's like something you're so proud of, because that is something to be so proud of, because you know, everybody is grinding and hustling, and it's awesome and beautiful to see people, you know, learning skills. But what is the eternal reward from some of this stuff? And you know, you've sewn into that, which is so beautiful.
Yeah. No, thank you. I think one of the reasons that the Ironman was so attractive to me, and endurance sports is so attractive to me, is because it is such a beautiful metaphor for life, right?
Yeah.
It is a long race. It requires long-term vision and planning and purpose and preparation. And and you, like I said earlier, you have to really understand why you're doing it and what is going to allow you to show up consistently time after time. And there were so many moments throughout my training where I viewed this as a metaphor for the life I want to live. You know, I want to cross the finish line one day and be proud of the race I ran. I want to know that not only did I do it well, like that's a personal thing, but I want to know that I did that and I blessed others along the way. I want to know that people were inspired by my life, that I left a legacy that touched people and not just my life. And so, and so I do think that's what God calls us to. And I think that we have more opportunities than we realize to do that creatively.
Totally.
And it doesn't matter, you know, what your career is, what your vocation is, turn a hobby into that. Like this was a hobby. This is, you know, I'm not a professional triathlete. I'm doing this because this was an opportunity, for me to continue challenging myself, discovering more of what I'm capable of. And I just wanted to get creative and use it as an opportunity to make a difference. And I think that my hope is that anyone who saw that journey that I went through and followed along or was, you know, following me on social media, by the way, I don't have like a huge following. So that's the other thing is I just want people to understand it doesn't matter. Like people are paying attention.
Absolutely.
And we can use, you know, our daily lives and our daily decisions and the things that we set our minds to not only to, you know, live an incredible life and, but also to touch a lot of other people's lives in the same way. And so this Ironman was just an awesome way for me to sort of do something personally fulfilling that also felt like lined up with the metaphor of how I want to live my life in general.
No, that's so good. I realized I wanted to ask at the beginning for people to know, but can you tell everybody what an Ironman triathlon is?
Oh, for sure.
because it's
I guess we kind of skipped right over that, right?
I know. That's my bad.
we went straight to the deep stuff. I'm deep. Like I'll sit here.
I'll sit here
in the deep end like all day, you know. But I guess we gotta talk about the practical stuff. Okay,
I know,
so
right?
so an Ironman, so a triathlon race. Let's start there. A triathlon race is just any race that starts with a swim. Then you go to a bike portion of the race, and then you end with a run. And and so that's just what the sport of triathlon is, those three things in that order. And then different distances start kicking in, and they range from what people call sprint triathlons, which are the shorter ends of things, to Olympics, to half Ironmans, to Ironmans. And so Ironmans are considered sort of the higher end of like the distances that although now I'm starting to learn about other races with where people are doing like double Ironmans and all sorts of crazy stuff, so there's really no limit, but but kind of within the sport, Ironman is like the highest distance that people competitively race at and train at and all those sorts of things. And so an Ironman race, they call them Ironman, you know, 140.6, because you're doing 140.6 miles throughout the race in total across those three sports.
In one day.
They have a cutoff. I think you need to do it in like 17 hours or something in order to you know, actually finish. But but yeah, you do a 2.4 mile swim to start, and then you transition to your bike, and then you do a 112 mile bike ride. And then you transition to your run, and then you run a marathon, 26.2 miles to end it. And that's 140.6. That's the Ironman race. Yep.
It feels so cruel. I don't know why. Maybe it's just because of how much I dislike running. It feels really cruel to end on a run. It's a marathon. It's not just like, go run. It's like, hey, now run a marathon. Some people train just for a marathon. Yeah,
it's the hardest, and it was the hardest for me for sure. The run,
yeah, was it? Yeah, so you said the run was the hardest. What are some of like the biggest challenges you noticed, even just physically or just mentally, emotionally, spiritually, like as you were training? Because I know myself, and I think I quit every other day mentally.
Mentally,
I'm done. I don't want to do this. I'm like, okay.
Mentally, but did you know if you kept showing up?
No, for sure. Right.
Because
the
thought was there, but you didn't actually quit. So
I know. I would have made it so much easier for myself if I just said,
True.
Just get up.
But you did it. So for me, what was the hardest? So I think the run for sure. I enjoy running. I've come to enjoy it much more than I used to. I actually find it pretty fulfilling now. But
nice.
But that's the one that just takes the biggest toll on your body. I mean, for a lot of people, swimming's the hardest because less people grew up swimming, and I think water just brings something that can be, you know, mentally overwhelming to people. Mm-hmm. And it's such a technical sport for me that I have a background in that. So it wasn't that. Biking, I have a little bit of more of a background. I think more people are familiar with that. The running just took a toll on my joints and like you're just grinding. And, and so I think as much as I came to love it, that was the one that I had to pay the most attention to. That's the one that definitely caused the most discomfort throughout my training.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one that I had to really psychologically, I think, fight through a bit more because that's more of where the pain and discomfort came. And so the run for sure was the hardest for me and proved to be the hardest part of the Ironman race as well. You know, I came off my bike. And I was expecting that, you know, my knees would have some discomfort in the second half of the marathon because that's sort of how it had showed up in my training.
Mm-hmm.
And so mentally I was prepared for that. Mm-hmm. They have these special need bags that you can give to your volunteers before the race starts, and they have them for you halfway through the run if you need it. So you can put whatever you want in there. So I'd put some ibuprofen in there just in case.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, it didn't take but 5 miles for my knees to start bugging. And it threw me off a little bit. I mean, I, you know, that's the thing about race day is you just don't fully know how it's going to go. So in that sense, you know, you just have to be ready to adapt. But my right knee really started hurting pretty bad, like getting to miles like 8 and 9. And my pace started slowing and so, you know, I really had to adapt. And fortunately, I was able to persevere and get to my special needs bag at mile 14, which had the ibuprofen and some extra nutrition and stuff. And that really helped me kind of get back onto the pace that I wanted to run and finish the race strong. And it ended up going well. But there was a stretch there where it was tough. And so.
Yeah. Do you remember like what you were thinking and what you were telling yourself during that?
For sure. Yeah. I'm like, write some scripture on your shoes, write some quotes on your shoes. Who are you running this race for kind of guy? I'm like, give me all the motivation. Give me all the inspiration.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm that dude. I'm like, you know, I'm thinking about things during the race and I'm just like, you know, coming up with all sorts of awesome, inspiring stories from my life, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm that mental guy. And when this started happening, which was unexpected, you know, it was just on my right knee. I hadn't really experienced this specific pain during my training.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out like, okay, my first thought was stay collected. Stay, keep your thoughts focused and sharp. Because I just, you know, I just knew that the mental battle is really just as important as the physical battle. Yeah. And if anything, during the race, I think the mental battle is more important at that point, because the physical is set, but the mental can be fluid, right? So, so I just was trying to keep myself composed and collected and just reminding myself, okay, what are your options here? Like, you know, what can you do, you know, and keep going. And, and that, just because you're experiencing pain doesn't mean you're meant to stop, you know?
Yeah.
And
that's good.
And so, so then I thought, okay, this is earlier than I thought. And I thought, okay, what are my options here? So I knew I had, you know, the ibuprofen and some extra nutrition and some things that would help at mile 14. And so that just became my next goal. It was like, cool, I'm not running a 26 mile race right now. Now I'm running a 7 mile race to mile 14, you know? Yeah. And that, and so I just had to, and I did that in other ways during the bike and the swim as well. Cause some stuff happened during those that, that were challenging, but I just took the bigger goal, marathon. And I said, okay, what's my shorter term goal now? Like what can I, how can I make that something a bit more tangible, a bit more, less overwhelming. And so my new goal was mile 14 and, you know, I got there and of course you're not sure exactly how much the ibuprofen is going to help or that nutrition and stuff. Right. So you're still just kind of going step by step. But once I got that, then I was feeling better. And then there came a point in the later half of the marathon where it was tough. And I was like, man, I'm, you know, I'm getting this out. And I just started reciting scripture. I mean, I was like, Isaiah 40 was just like on repeat coming, you know, even young men grow tired and weary, but those who hope in the Lord, but when you the strength, they will run and not grow. So I'm just like saying this over myself, you know, as I'm staying focused and, just reminding myself that I was running with purpose, that I was running with, you know, for bigger reasons, that I was ready for this, that I had this in me. And then lastly, there was this mental, you know, topic or concept that I had heard about or read about where people encouraged you to set short-term horizons. And so as your race goes longer, obviously your body starts becoming more fatigued mentally, you start becoming more drained and it's harder to stay encouraged and to think that you're going to be able to cross the finish line. And so I think the last 3, 4, maybe 5 miles, I started setting a shorter term horizon. So it was like, I'd run down a long stretch and I'd see all these, I don't know, lampposts on the street. And I was like, okay, cool. I need to get to that lamppost. Okay, great. I crossed the lamp. Cool. What's the next sign? I'm going to like, and before you know it, you're crossing more miles and you continue to go. So those are a few things that I had to do.
Yeah. No, that's good. And I can imagine too, like when you start to feel pain, like it would be kind of scary too. Like, I don't know, I guess I could see you being like, oh no, is this going to knock me out? Or is this going to start hurting? So I'm going to have to stop. Or did you ever want to quit while like during the race?
I didn't. I went into that race and I told people, I'm like, they're going to have to drag me off of this course. There's no way I'm not crossing that finish line. And so awesome. I think in my mind, I was already resolved that if I had to walk it, I was going to walk it. Cool. And so during that, when I started experiencing that pain, it was more so I started assessing it against kind of my time goals and how I was tracking. Yeah. And, you know, I did end up having like some goals that I was pushing for. And so I was kind of benchmarking it against those. I wasn't as concerned about quitting, but I wasn't sure if it was going to get worse and I wasn't sure if I was going to have to end up, you know, walking. And the thing about walking is, man, once your legs start getting a taste for that,
I bet. Oh, yeah.
They don't want to go back to running. And so much of so much of the mental thing was just saying, Kev, can you just keep running? Cause I just knew if I started walking that it was going to be so much more difficult to get myself running again. And so it was more so about how long can I keep running before I have to walk. And, you know, it turned out the rest of the race. But I mean, you know, I didn't. Yeah. So I just had to push myself there.
Wow. That's amazing. I like what you said, that there were like things that you could tell yourself as well as like work scripture that you can remind yourself. I think that's like a beautiful mesh of learning how to, you know, establish resilience and in yourself, but as well as like leaning on the word of God, because it is so true, and it is so especially when we don't think we need it, but especially when we need it, it hits like we need it to. God knows what we need.
And you know, I know people might think like, oh man, you're like misapplying scripture, that's not why they wrote that verse, you know, you're over spiritual. I'm like, look,
listen,
I'll tell you, I've tried a lot of things in my life to keep me motivated, and the only thing that remains constant is scripture. So God can talk to me about, you know, whether I was saying that verse out of context during my Ironman race when I get to heaven. But in the meantime,
seriously,
I'm falling back on that for sure.
No, that's so good. Because my thing is, which I really want, I want to do another one. I don't have the bug. Like, once we finished, I was like, I don't have the bug. But I didn't at all do what I was hoping to in the way of even just mindset. Because for me, we did it in the winter. And I decided to not wear a wetsuit.
I remember you telling me
that. I thought I was bad and bougie. And I was like, no, I grew up a swimmer.
That is pretty bad and bougie. I'll just give you that for sure.
No, well, listen, like, I mean, there were three people who were just wearing swimsuits. And so everybody was like, oh my gosh, I admire you. And I was like, no, I just, because we got there the day before, I jumped in the water and I was like, I have to get a wetsuit. Like and nobody was renting them or selling them or anything. And so for me, I totally let that like eclipse the entire thing. And it was like an interesting, I've never been scared of water. I've never been scared of cold water. Like, and for some reason, I didn't have the safeguards that I needed. I mean, we're standing there. They take pictures during the race, and there's a picture of me and my friend Hillary who was doing it, and she looks just like nervous but like excited, and I look pissed off and like I have no idea how I got there. I mean, just bewildered. And so, you know, for me, I really want to do it again because I know that mentally I took myself out. I still did it, but I'm mentally
I can understand, obviously having done a few of these races, how defeating that can be, you know, to have a plan, to have a strategy, to think you're going to be, you know, okay in this regard, and then to get there so close to race day, and then it's like, oh, I'm not good, this is not good, right? And so I think it's incredible that you stuck through it. And I'd love to know, I mean, you know, I know I'm going to reverse the thing here and ask you a question, but I'd love to know, like, what got you through that race? Because, I mean, in my race, we had people coming out of the water with hypothermia and frostbite. And even myself, my left hand went numb throughout that thing. My toes were numb for an hour into the bike ride. Mm-hmm. So to not do it with a wetsuit, I'm sure you had to have overcome some of that to stick through it. Mm-hmm. And so what allowed you to mentally persevere, you know?
So at one point there was a girl swimming next to me who was legitimately having a panic attack. And so I think at one point I was like, okay, I was encouraging her. And so I think to get my mind off of myself for a minute was actually really helpful to be like, okay, you know what? I was just saying things to her that I needed to hear. I was like, we got this, you know how to swim, you know, if you That's need a so break, good. You know, and she had a wetsuit. I was like, if you need to float, feel free to float. Like, you don't have to prove anything right now. You are safe. Like, you are not good, you know? And so that was one thing that was helpful. When I got out of the water, I started to get dressed and I said, I'm done. I quit. So mentally I did quit. And then my coach came out of the water and she was like, okay. She's like, well, what if we just get on the bike and just see. So I completely attribute finishing to my coach, like 1,000,000%. Cause I was just, I think I felt so defeated in the moment because the reason I wanted to do it was to prove you know, I'd battled years of chronic illness and stuff. And so I was like, I really just want to push my body. But the whole time, my why was a little iffy though, because the competitive side of me kept kicking in. And I was like, I was seeing what times, you know, some of the top women were getting in my age group and stuff. And as I was training in the pool, not in a lake or an ocean, in the pool, right. You know, I was coming close to those times and stuff. So I was like, oh, like, okay. So there was a lot of disappointment that set in. And I think just a lot of fear too. I've never been scared of swimming in cold water. And for a minute I was like, I don't know if I'm going to make this. Like I really was wondering if I was going to drown. So I think it was just her, because she was like, ignore the race. Like, you and me, let's get on our bikes and let's just do this. And so for me, that was very helpful to just get outside of my own head, because in that moment I was my own worst enemy. And so I think the helper in me was kicking in too. I think there's a lot of, if I can help people, then I'll have a little bit more resilience. But when it comes to myself, I can, you know, sometimes be quick to be like, we good. We can just stop. We good, you know? And it's other people's like, no, we got this. Like, we committed to it. Let's do it. You know? So, I did no prayer. I had no scriptures. Like, while I was just like, I was just really angry. I was really angry in the water. And
that's
it just,
so real though. Yeah. That is so real though.
it just made me so mad. 'Cause I was like, I am a swimmer and I'm a great swimmer. Like, so I think for me, it touched on a lot of like my identity, how easily I can, I mean, it went so deep for me this first triathlon. I was like, man, my identity is so tied into my performance. Like, it is not at all. And my coach just kept saying, like, you finished. Like, that's all that matters. Like, you finished. Like, you have the opportunity to do it again if you want to, but like, you met the goal that you said you were going to do. Like, I didn't have a time or anything. It was just finish. And so again, to have somebody speaking truth into me while I was beating myself up, she's like, you did what you set out to do. Like, you didn't ever say you wanted to come in first, second, or third place, like in the swim or whatever, even though mentally I was like, I got
right.
this. I'm gonna get this,
right.
You know? So yeah, for me, the entire thing was community, like who I did it with.
I love that. And I like, I think it's really cool what you said about along the swim, just finding yourself naturally encouraging and speaking life into other people. And
yeah.
And oftentimes I think when we give ourselves away to people like that, or when we speak life into other people, it just, like you said, you got outside of yourself. And, I've found that in these races, the more that I'm encouraging others and I'm cheering them on and I'm doing that, there's something that just keeps me going as well, you know? And so I love that insight, because I think that's so real, and I can see how that would just take our focus away from our problems, our your discomfort in that sense, and then having people do that for you, you know.
So. Right. Yeah. Oh, and at one point some guy was kind of backstroking a little bit. I was like, can I grab onto your foot? And he didn't. I don't think he knew I was joking. 'Cause he like turned and then kept swimming. I was like, I wasn't.
Hey, some
I
of guess. The
all right.
These triathletes, they're ruthless in that water. So they're I'm sure ruthless. He did not find that funny.
Not at all. He did not appreciate it. He said, girl, get away from me.
I have people, yeah, in this Ironman, I have people like pulling my legs and swimming over me. And we were like having a, you know, fight for that position and all of
yeah,
that.
Yeah, right. Yeah. No, it's, man, it's a, but I do love it. I think you have shown people like there is a way that you can do hard things healthily, like in a healthy way. Because I know for me, I'm even still just trying to reframe, what does hard mean? Like, why do I look at something and think that's hard or like that's impossible? And I love how you said, it's like, you just, you made shorter goals that made it a lot more. I think sometimes these big visions and these big things can seem so unattainable at times. And so to take it and just break it down into little things, you're like, oh yeah, I can run a mile. All right. You know, and that's huge.
Absolutely. I think that's definitely the key, you know, there's,
yeah.
And science backs up like goal setting, you totally. Know, and just from a psychological standpoint, you mm-hmm. know, setting, it's important to set difficult and specific goals. So
right.
do an Ironman. Cool. That's difficult and it's specific. Right. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, having to break that into then smaller milestones along the way mm-hmm. is the only way that you'll ever do that. And so mm-hmm. you need to have feedback. You need to have commitment to those yeah. goals. You need to have just the knowledge of what it's going to take to pull that off and to break that into smaller chunks and mm-hmm. mentally stay encouraged. I think that's mm-hmm. the biggest thing is like,
yeah,
it's so hard to stay encouraged and
yeah.
full of hope when you're doing something hard totally. In life. And I think I'm convinced that's the thing that takes most people out is not whether yeah. they could have seen it through and done it, mm-hmm. whatever it is that they're setting their mind to. Mm-hmm. I think that people get discouraged and lose hope in the process yeah. and then yeah. are never able to see what they could have done, you know, mm-hmm. had they have fought to maintain mm-hmm. that and protect that. And I do think mm-hmm. it's a battle. I think that's harder oftentimes than the actual task itself. So
totally. No, I mean, that's super good. Cause I think with goals too, it's like, we can make these super grandiose. I mean, you know, New Year's resolutions, like what do they mm-hmm. say? Like barely anybody ever keeps it. And I think a lot of times too, we forget. And I've had people speak this over me, like to reach certain goals, you have to be like, there has to be a type of person you have to become as well. So it's not just that I want to get in shape. It's that I have to become somebody who values hard, who, you know, yes. sees pain as a growth process, who like, who do I have to become to be an Ironman? Like, you right. know, the way that I'm living my life today, right now, I would not in 6 months be able to do an Ironman. But if I were to realistic, be like, okay, like these are the kind of goals I want to make. Who do I have to become? I gotta, you know, look at my diet. I gotta look at the way that I spend my day, how I sleep, you know, how I push myself physically, all of those things. I think we can become like, we can get very like dreamy about a goal. Like, yeah, I mean, yes, to be in the kind of shape to have done mm-hmm. an Ironman, I would love that. But mm-hmm. to get up at 4 a.m. every day and to like all of that stuff, that's going to take a little more.
There's sacrifice. Yeah. There's 100%.
Sacrifice. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's, yeah, that's, I think that's why I just admire you and people who really push themselves to like those kinds of limits, because it's, I mean, I think it depends on what you consider a reward, but I mean, it is, there's a lot of sacrifice and a lot of, yeah, it's not easy.
It's not, but it's worth it.
But it's worth it.
It's definitely yeah. worth it.
Yeah. What have you, is there anything that you have just really recognized about yourself after achieving this goal?
I think for me, it was a reminder that for me, I think it really was an experience where I remained focused on what I was called to do, what I set my mind to do. And the older I get, you know, the more I have dreams and visions and passions and things that I want to do and accomplish. And it's so easy for me to compare myself to those that have either, you know, done similar things or those that are currently doing similar things. And and to lose focus on the most important thing, which is who I am and what my, you know, calling or my version of that is going to be. And, and for me, this race forced me to really dial in my focus on what I wanted to do over the course of 6 months and to just really tap into the motivation and the purpose and the why behind it. And I think what I learned about myself and what God reminded me through this is it doesn't matter if it's an Ironman race or if it's starting a business or writing a book or encouraging a friend or, you know, just remaining confident in my identity and who he's made me to be, whatever it is, you know, if I remain focused on who he's created me to be, on who I am, on what's important to me, on what my calling is, on what the purpose is for my life. And I really, you know, remain consistent in that, then I can see those dreams come to fruition. I can see the fruit of my labor and of my hard work. But yeah, so that's something I'm proud of. That's something I need to be reminded of. That's something that I'm glad I had this experience to refine. And because then it leaves you encouraged. It leaves me encouraged to see, like, okay, what's next? to go back to what we were talking about earlier.
It's like,
what's next? I mean, I can promise you that it's not gonna be double Ironmans and all these other crazy races that are I mean, 2023, I'm not doing a full Ironman. Maybe in a couple of years I'll do another one. But it just provides fuel to see, like, if this worked in this arena, in this context, in this endeavor, then what's the next thing that I want to sort of take that mindset, take that focus, take that ambition, that faith, and apply it to. And and knowing that, you know, that God was my source of ultimate inspiration behind it, and that I want to just continue inspiring other people to do the same with their life. And so so I'm excited.
I love that. That's really good for anybody listening who, like, you know, feels like they're entering into maybe a season where they're challenging themselves, or and like you said, hard is relative, but maybe stepping into something that just feels like they're really being stretched. Do you have any just words of advice for them?
For sure. Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think I'd say two things. One, you know, for those that might be listening to your podcast consistently or here listening to my experience, they often, you know, and we do this all the time with other people that we look up to. We can we can compare ourselves to what we're hearing them talk about today. And mentally, you know, start telling ourselves, well, I'm not that person. Like, I can't do an Ironman today. Like, that's crazy. I don't have wits, ability to, you know, consistently show up on this podcast and bring on awesome people and have great conversations. And and so I would just encourage people not to compare your today to someone else's today. You know, there's so many variables that go into and factors that go into a person's life, a person's starting point, you know, what helps shape who they are. And so don't compare where you're at in your journey to where someone else is at their journey. But allow people to inspire you, allow people's journeys to inspire you. And if we can take people's stories and testimonies and journeys and experiences and things that we genuinely are inspired by and channel that inspiration and fight away comparison or fight away, you know, bitterness or fight away jealousy and use it to inspire us, then you're winning. And and it doesn't matter where you're at in your journey, you're winning, because that's the goal. And I think that's ultimately what our lives are for, is to inspire others. And so so that's the first thing I would say. And the other is that as you continue to take these hard steps in your life, whatever that looks like, it's important for you to do that, but just don't forget to turn around and tell your story at some point and use it to inspire someone else. And and again, even in that, your story matters. It doesn't matter if one person hears it and their life has changed, 10 people hear it, or 1,000 people hear it. Like, your story matters. And the person that needs to hear your story matters. And so as you continue taking these hard steps, I pray that, like, you have an incredible story and testimony that is shaped by it. I hope that you are in touch with that, and then I hope you turn around and use that to encourage someone else along the journey. So let other people's stories inspire you, and then use your story to inspire others, I guess would be my two thoughts there.
That's so good. So good, man. Well, thank you. That's good. I'm receiving that for myself too.
Good. I receive it on my for myself too. We all need that.
We all need it. Oh, I so appreciate you. Thank you so much. This was so, just so good. I know people are really gonna
really appreciate the wisdom that you shared with us. So thank you.
Oh, the pleasure is mine. And I'm just grateful that you've set aside this platform. You've created this space to touch people. I mean,
thank you.
It's beautiful. And you know, the guests that you have on here are amazing and insightful and great people. So I'm just privileged that the invitation was extended to me.
Oh,
I hope that
absolutely.
It encourages someone else, but I'm encouraged by you, Whit, and just you taking the steps to create this space for people to grow. And I'm inspired by what you're doing. Keep it up.
Thank you.
Like what you hear so far? Click the subscribe button and give me a rating and review. And let's keep this conversation going. You can find me on social media at Whitney Wood Music. You can find any of my latest singles out anywhere that you stream or purchase music under Whitney Wood, as well as my latest passion project. It's a kids EP called BB and Bubba. I'll have the links below so you can find them. Have a great week, everybody.